Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I truly believe that God has given me a message this Mother's Day, and I just want to thank and praise God for the privilege and the opportunity to come once again into your living rooms. And also I want to give a shout out to Sister Yahida Morales and Brother Joshua Herrera and Angel Hernandez, who brought a wonderful worship this morning. And I'm just so blessed. And they left the fragrance, the anointing here in this place. And we're coming to you live from Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship Studios. So we're excited to come into your living rooms this morning. And so with all that said, I'm going to ask, by faith, did you bring your Bibles? Did you bring your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to read together verses 10 through 12 and also 25 through 31. And allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for all the mothers, the grandmothers, Lord, and even those that are single right now. I pray, Lord, that you would speak volumes to our beautiful sisters in the Lord. And also for those right now that are just going through, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Portrait of a Godly Mother. The Portrait of a Godly Mother. Are you there? Turn your Bibles there to Proverbs 31, and let's go to this screen right now, and let's open this up, and I need you to go to Proverbs 31, chapter 10, Proverbs 31, we're going to read verses 10 through 12, and then we can continue with this message, amen? And so, are we there? Proverbs, let's go. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise. Say that with me. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord, say that with me. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So, saints of God, I am blessed to bring this message to encourage the women of God. And so, let's look at our principle right up here. It says, what does the Bible say about Christian mothers? What does it actually say? Well, being a mother is a very important role that the Lord chooses to give to many women. A Christian mother is told to love her children. And we can find that in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. In part so that she does not bring reproach on the Lord and the Savior whose name she bears. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this right now. Let's go to Titus right here. Titus 2 and 4. It says, they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. I want to encourage those right now, sisters, saints of God, to do exactly what was just read to you, to love your children, to love your husbands. We can open that back up now. To come to the Word of God and to glean off God's Word, that you would understand that God loves you. He really does. And God wants to encourage you. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to build your character up. You see, many of you didn't think that you would be homeschoolers. Well, because of this COVID-19, well, praise God. God is teaching many of you mothers right now on how to raise up your children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You see, praise God. Praise God that some of you have taken a break from the public school system. Now, I'm not knocking the public school system, but the public school system teaches a whole lot of things that's contrary to the Word of God. But praise God, this is the great opportunity. Take advantage for every moment that you have with your children at home right now. Instill the fear of the Lord. Instill righteousness. And let them know that God loves them. And you watch God do the miraculous in their lives. And so, let's look at this right here. How many of you believe that children are a gift from the Lord? That's right. That's right. They are a gift. Children are a gift of the Lord. That's right. Now, let's look what King David wrote thousands of years ago, which pertain today. We can glean off the Word of God. We can especially go into the Psalms. The Psalms, oh my gosh, the Psalms are rich, full of depth of God's Word and illumination. And we can glean and we can use what they used back then and apply it for today. Can I get an amen? Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to Psalms 127, 3 and 5. It says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man, and I want to say also, how blessed is the woman, whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies at the gate. That's what King David wrote back then. Saints of God, the word applies today. I know some of you right now have beautiful children, and some of you are homeschooling them. But for those of you right now, God is giving you that opportunity, that right now, the time to spend quality time with them. That's right. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them all, every one of them, how you adore them. Praise God. Now, let's look at what Titus 2 and 4 says. Titus 2 and 4 says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. God is exhorting the women right now. Some of you right now are having tumultuous. Some of you right now that may be watching and listening to this message. Some of you married couples right now are having hard times right now with your marriage. This is the time. This is the time to reconcile. This is the time to get things right with God. This is the time to allow the Word of God to minister to your heart. And this is the time now to say, oh God, forgive me if I've wronged my husband, if I've wronged my wife. This is a time to come together. This is a time right now that the children will see God's grace, God's mercy, especially in reconciliation. Can I get an amen? Now, let's look at this for a moment up here on your screen. The Greek word philoktikos appears in reference to mothers loving their children. This word represents a special kind of mother love. There's a special kind of warm love that only a mother has for their children. And so, saints of God, the idea that flows out of this world is that of caring for our children, nurturing them, affectionately embracing them, meeting their needs, and tenderly befriending each one as a unique gift from the hand of God. Your child should be a unique gift given from Almighty God, that you would nurture them, that you would raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Now, let's look at our screen right here. Several things are commanded of Christian mothers in God's Word. Several things. Let's look at number one. Number one, availability. Morning, noon, and night. That's right. It's a 24-hour job. I hope you know that. Some of you are that are just young mothers right now are finding that out, huh? Yeah, the little infants, the ones that cry at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah, yeah. But you know what? God has called you for such a time as this to nurture them, to love them, to comfort them. Comfort them. Can I get an amen on the couch? Can I get an amen? Look what the Word of God says in Deuteronomy. It says, and these words, look at this, which I am commanding you today, and it pertains to us today, saints of God, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them what? Diligently to your sons and also to your daughters, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. There should be constant communication with your children. Why? Because they want to know, number one, that you earnestly love them, that you care for them, that they can come to you on any given moment, and that you would receive them, and that you would minister to them, and you would continue to love them. Can I get an amen? Let's look at our second principle. Involvement. That's vital. Be involved in their activities. Be involved in their life. No matter how young they are, no matter how old they get, continue to be involved in their life, interacting, discussing, thinking, and processing life together. They need you. They're always going to need you. Oh, that's right. Before my mom passed, before my mother-in-law passed, many of us used to always still call our mom. And why? Because she was still mightily involved in our life, and we could come to her. Mothers have tremendous wisdom. They have tremendous just know-how. They know how to comfort us in no other way. Why? Because they have the heart. God put the heart of God within them. Praise God. Praise God. Look what Ephesians says right here. Look at Ephesians 6 and 4. And now, a word to you parents. This is in the Living Bible Translation. Don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with the loving discipline the Lord Himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. You see, my friends, there are going to be times when, yes, I know, some of them can get on your last little nerve. Oh, yeah, it's our human nature. But this is where you have to have the mind of Christ. This is where you have to have the mind of God to minister to them. Because every moment with them is a precious moment. We're not promised tomorrow. Can I get an amen on the couch? We're not promised tomorrow. Take advantage of the time that we have with them, and raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Minister them to them, mothers. Thank you, God. Why? Because the Word of God admonishes us. It encourages us. Thank you, God. Number three, a lot of you right now are becoming homeschool teachers. Can I get an amen? Not by choice. And you know, this is where you have to look at the flip side of this COVID-19. If it wasn't for this pandemic, you and I, we wouldn't have that quality time with them. And mothers, especially you right now, now this is the most vital and critical time. You got to let them know and comfort them that everything's going to be all right. So teaching the scriptures and a biblical worldview. This is what you got to teach them now. Teach them the things of God which pertain to life, that goes into eternity. Can I get an amen? Look what King David wrote here in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, 4 through 7, and it reads in the Living Bible Translation, I will reveal these truths to you so that you can describe these glorious deeds of Jehovah to your children and tell them about the mighty miracles He did. Remind them how God is good, how God has saved you, how God has saved many people that you know in your life. But teach them the stories of the Bible, more importantly. Let them know where God, hallelujah, how God delivered the Israelites from bondage. Look at this, verse 5. For He gave His laws to Israel and commanded our parents to teach them to their children. Wow, that's awesome. Look at verse 6. In verse 6, so that they, what? In turn could teach their children too. It's passed on from generation to generation. Thus, His laws passed down from generation to generation. Verse 7. In this way, each generation has been able to obey His laws and to set its hope anew on God. and not forget His glorious miracles. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Our children, your children, need to know how God saved 8 people when He had to flood the earth. The Noah's Ark story. When David slew Goliath. When the whole nation of Israel was frightened by one giant. And he mocked Israel. And no one had the courage to come and fight with this, the foe, the enemy of Israel. But this little ruddy kid named David, with a slingshot, he slew a giant. There were warriors on Israel's side. And yet, a little ruddy kid destroyed the enemy during that time. The Philistines were running for cover after they saw their giant, their man, the one that they worshipped. They worshipped Goliath, and he fell. And David slew the giant. Tell them what happened. Tell those kind of stories to them. Teach them the things of God so they would remember that when they grow older, when they come to that age of accountability, they'll know how to call upon the name of the Lord. Can I get an amen on the couch? Hallelujah. Let's look at Deuteronomy right here. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. It says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your," what? "To your children and to your grandchildren." Wow. Look at verse 10 here. "Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, and when the Lord said to me, 'Gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children.'" Saints of God, I truly believe what God is saying, especially to some of you mothers, some of your grandmothers that have an opportunity to bless your children and your grandchildren, is spend quality devotional time with them. Pray with them. Let them know that God loves them. Let them know that God answers prayer. Let them know that God is not no mystical God in heaven. No, that He wants to be a very part of their lives, just like He's a part of your lives. That's right. God is a real God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to our fourth principle here. Let's look at this. Training. Helping a child develop skills and discover his or her strengths. That's right. You know, I truly believe many of your children, they have gifts that are dormant in there. And many of them, you'll see what their gift is. Some of it is in song. Some of it is in music. Some of it is in math. Some of it is many wonderful gifts that God has given children. And yes, train them up in the fear of the Lord. That's right. This is what Proverbs 22:6 says. Look at this. It says right here, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not," what? "Depart from it." That's right. You see, saints of God, our children, your children, are looking to you to teach them the things of God, to teach them righteousness and holiness. Let them know that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Now, they're going to make mistakes. But the proper way to correct them is you correct them in love. You show them their error of their ways and then restore them. You know, many of them, I understand, they need, sometimes you need to take the Board of Education to the seat of their understanding. I get that. Oh, yes, you do. But there's a way, though, to restore them back to you. Let them know. Tell them why you had to bring discipline and why you had to bring chastisement to them. And then you restore them back to you and let them know. Why? Because when you and I fail, God restores us, doesn't He? No differently. He forgives us. They got to see the forgiveness of God within your being, within your heart. And then also think about telling them about spiritual gifts. Tell them that God wants to use them in mighty ways. Listen, I truly believe some of your children right now, some of them could be possibly evangelists and pastors and teachers. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I really believe that. I really believe that. Let's look at the book of Romans that Paul wrote to Romans. Look at this in Romans 12. He wrote this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Say this with me. Let us use them. Can I get an amen? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Praise God. Praise God. Teach them. Teach them the wonderful works of God. Teach them what God, how God will use them when they come to that age. Sow into their life. Let them know that God loves them and He really does. Now, as I mentioned earlier, let's look at this. Number five, discipline. For some, I know it's tough to discipline your children. But listen, when you discipline them, it's teaching the fear of the Lord, drawing the line consistently, lovingly, but firmly. Can I get an amen? That's right. That's right. As I shared with you, there's ways to minister to them where they will come to you, not run from you. I remember my former pastor, he shared a story. He shared this wonderful story, and it still has stayed with me in the remembrance of that message he brought almost 30 years ago. But he said this. He said that when he was a child, like around 7 years old, and he used to get on his mother's last nerve. So she would get a switch. You know what a switch is? A switch is like a long, it looks like a fishing rod, a fishing pole. And when he would just fall out of favor with her and he needed to be chastised, he would run from her when she would pick that up. And let me just say this. There are times where he said that she swung that thing, and a lot of times when it would hit his leg, oh my gosh, he knew that he got hit with the switch. But he figured it out. God gave this little child wisdom. This is what he was sharing with us. He said instead of running away, he would run to her, and he would lock onto a leg. And so now, the force wasn't there from the swing. And as he was weeping and crying and holding on, she would drop the switch, and then she would pick him up. And then she would minister to him. And he figured it out. It's better to run toward his mother than to run away. What is God saying in this little story is that when we as adults, when we sometimes soil our pants, instead of running from God, we run to God. And we ask God, oh God, I'm sorry, oh God. This is what we need to train up our children in them, that they would never run away from discipline, but they would run and embrace it, and that they would want to be corrected. Because when you correct them in love, that's when, oh my gosh, that's when God's grace, that's when God's mercy would be demonstrated in their lives, and they would understand. They would understand that it's better to run toward God. It's better to run toward you than to run away. Now, look at this in Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Look at this. Verse 5, it says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Say that with me, saints. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son in whom he receives. Praise God. Look at verse 7 here. If you endure chastening, look at this. God deals with you as with sons and also as daughters. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. I don't want to use the King James vernacular. Why? Because there's a word that replaces illegitimate. And I don't want to say that because some people use it as a curse word nowadays. And so I'll keep it at illegitimate and not sons. Now, look at verse 9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be what? Partakers of his holiness. Praise God. Look at verse 11 here. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. No one likes to get paddled. No one likes to get rebuked. No one wants to be corrected. But painful, nevertheless, afterward, look at what it does. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. That's the key. It's restoration after discipline is given. You train them up, and when they need that discipline, you administer the discipline in love. But then you reconcile with them, and they're going to understand. They'll understand. You know what? Thank you for the correction. You know, I got saved at the age of 30. I'm now 61. And before I got saved, you couldn't speak correction. The word correction was not even a word in my vocabulary. I was very rebellious. But when I got saved, God, hallelujah, by his grace and by his mercy, corrected many things in my life that I needed correction in. One of the things that he miraculously took from me the day I got saved, a custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship led me to the Lord on a Thursday night. And immediately, the drug addiction, the potty mouth, it vanished within seconds. It's like when you go on a laptop or your desktop computer and you throw away things in the trash bin. Well, did you know that you can still, I'm sure you do, you can still retrieve those things from the trash bin. But when you delete the trash bin, a lot of times it's very hard to retrieve those things again. And that's what God did for me. He went into the trash bin of my mind and he deleted that old nature I had. And he did it miraculously. And I give God praise and glory. I give him all the honor. And this is what you need to tell and teach your children, that God can do the miraculous in their life. That God could correct those things in love and supernaturally correct those things and allow them to enjoy, hallelujah, a true and living relationship with the holy God in heaven. Praise God, praise God. Let's go to our sixth principle here. Let's look at this. Nurture. Very important. Nurture, providing an environment of constant verbal support. Not verbal baggage and banging, but verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, unconditional love. Did you know that God has unconditional love for us? Well, yes, he does. And it all happened at the cross. It happened at the cross. That's right. When we came to Jesus by faith, and he gave us a heart to repent, and he gave us a new mind. He gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. It was him that quickened us. It was him that called us. It was him that drew us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It was Jesus alone and him alone. There's nothing we could have done to earn this wonderful and great and awesome salvation. It was but the grace of God. The grace of God. And so let's look at this. Nurture. Look at this. Providing. Let's go widescreen on this. Providing an environment of constant verbal support, freedom to fail, acceptance, affection, unconditional love. I cannot repeat that more. There's something that we need to be reminded continually regarding unconditional love. Let's look at Titus right here. Let's look at Titus 2, 1 through 4. Let's look what God's word says about this. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, for teaching. Doctrine means teaching. That the older men be sober. Look at this. Reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. Look at this. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they, here's the key, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. This is why I praise God for mothers in Zion. What does that mean? I'm talking about the older saints of God, the older women that have gone through, that can teach the younger women, teach them how to or adorn themselves in the beauty of holiness. Can I get an amen? And so we're gonna look at this seventh principle right here. Modeling integrity. This is vital, saints. Living what you say. Being a model from which a child can learn by catching the essence of godly living. This is so key and critical. This is what's needed right now in the day and the culture that we live in. That's right. That's right. Unfortunately for the public school system, they have taken God out. They have taken God out of the equation. Jesus cannot be mentioned. You know, praise God for student initiative programs where if they are born again believers, they can initiate a Bible study in the school. But for the secular schools, Jesus has been removed. That's right. You can't talk about, you could talk about all the other religions except Christianity. Why? Because Christianity is the only, not just religion, but a relationship with the true and living God to transform a mind, to call someone out of darkness into their marvelous light, His marvelous light. And that's what God wants to do. And so, saints of God, I'm praying that you would earnestly take heed to this message and go back and do the things that you probably started out doing. Some of you are doing a mighty, mighty work in the life of your children. Look at Proverbs 10:9 says. It says, he who walks with what? Integrity walks securely. But he who perverts his ways will become known. What do you want to leave your children? Do you want to leave them a legacy of holiness or a legacy of debauchery? It's your choice. Do you want them to see and hear the things that please God? Or do you want them to hear potty mouths, language that should never be spoken anywhere? This is where, if you have a struggle with that issue, this is where you go to God and say, oh God, help me, God. Help me get right before you. Help me, oh Lord. And God will strengthen you. God will help you. God will delete that trash bin in your mind. Can I get an amen? Look what it says here in Psalms 37:18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be what? Forever. Say that with me. And their inheritance shall be forever. Should be forever. And look, and so I want you to really focus on this as we come in for a close. I promised my wife that I wouldn't have a long message today because many of you want to just enjoy Mother's Day. But I wanted to bring this message to encourage the mothers and the mothers-to-be and the grandmothers. Praise God. But we need to look at this. We need to look characteristics of godly mothers. What are they? So I hope you have your notepad. I hope you can always go back to the archives of YouTube and Facebook and just go back and remember these. Let's look at these characteristics. Look at this. Number one, a godly mother prays and reads the Word of God. Hallelujah. Establish that, my friends. Establish praying, teaching your children how to pray and teach them how to read God's Word. Look at number two. She is a mother who has learned to trust God for every need. They need to see that you are dependent upon the Lord. They need to see that you go to God. Yes, praise God for godly husbands that do bring physical needs to the home. You know, like shelter and clothing and food and he labors in love. But where does that all come from? It comes from God. God is the giver of life. And God has given us this beautiful life. And God has given us the children to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Look at this, number three. A godly mother is generous. She's generous. That's right. She's not covetousness. She's not stingy. She gives liberally. And one thing that children are looking for, that they're looking for that generosity of their, especially from their mother, is time to be with them. That you're liberal with your time to be with them. And number four, look at this. She's obedient. She's obedient to God. They need to see. They need to see that you're walking in obedience to God. And they should never hear slander. They should never see a life of duplicity. They should never see a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They need to see a godly mother. Now, let's look at this, these next godly characteristics. Let's look at number five. Look, a mother who's godly is forgiving. That's right. Listen, there are times. There are times. Let's draw back for a moment. There are times. I'm just going to speak about number five right now. There are times when a husband, a child, will cross a mother. That's right. Even a husband will cross that wife in one way or another. But if there's true repentance, if they're crying out, oh, forgive me, I shouldn't have done this. Mothers, it's your opportunity now to get right first with an attitude that's pleasing to God and then to reconcile. Reconcile with your husband. Reconcile with your children. There's nothing that whatever's done that could not be forgiven. You should be able to forgive like Jesus. Jesus hung on a cross. Jesus was mocked. He was spat upon. He was crushed. He was whipped and bruised. And a lot of times you've seen movies like The Passion of the Christ and The King of Kings, and he's on a cross, you know, and he's got a little terry cloth on. No, there were writers back then like Josephus that had eye account witnesses. And they said that when Jesus was there on a cross, you couldn't even tell his gender anymore. He was so badly beaten and his skin was torn off his flesh. And you couldn't tell whether he was male or female. And yet, out of his mouth, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mothers, I know you've been wronged and crossed and double-crossed in life. But I believe God is speaking to some of you right now that's watching and listening to this message. I'm not going to shout at you. I'm not going to spit at you. I'm going to tell you in a soft, quiet voice, this is the time to show now the forgiveness of Christ in your life. This is a time right now to go before the Lord and say, oh God, take away the hurt. Take away right now the mistrust. Take away what was said about me. Heal my heart. Heal my mind. Heal my emotions. And God will. But you have to come and you have to repent before Him. Yes, right? Even though you were wronged, you still, because of the wrongness that was done, you've accumulated hate and anger and bitterness toward your spouse or even to your child. This is a time now to get right with God. This is a time. God is truly speaking right now. Yeah, I could have brought a fire and brimstone message. I could have been yelling and shouting. I like to preach like that way sometimes. But I'm coming to you in a soft, kind voice right now, that you would truly, truly take heed of what I'm saying. Because God wants to do the miraculous in your marriage. God wants to do the miraculous in your children's life. They need to see that, yes, even in the worst conditions, that God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. And that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Let's go to number six. Number six, a godly mother has an attitude of persistence. That's right. She pursues to be Christ-like. She pursues godliness. She pursues holiness. She pursues to raise up the children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. She pursues to please her husband in many ways. Many ways. Ways that I can't even speak about right now. But many ways that she would give her life away. Why? Because her reward's in heaven. That's right. Let's look at number 7. A godly mother is a servant. She's a servant. She serves her home. She serves her children. She serves her husband. She serves the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way she serves the Lord is she serves others. And she denies herself. Oh, that's right. That's right. I believe God is working on some of you right now. He's working on that pride issue. He's working on that me, myself, and I attitude. That's right. But God loves you. God wants to do something mighty in your life. Take heed for this message because he truly loves you. And look at number 8. She lives an orderly life. That's right. Her children adore her. Her children sees godliness. Her children sees what comes out of her mouth is praises to God and words of wisdom, words of love, words to edify, to build character. That's what should come forth from a mother's mouth. Can I get an amen? And so these last two principles are right here. Look at this. Number 9. A godly mother is an encourager. Are you encouraging your kids to when tough times like this, that it's going to be all right? That because they are now refrained from playing in the school ground and coming together in Sunday school, all that's been taken away for a moment. But are you encouraging them that it's going to be all right? That in God's timing, God's going to make all things new again. God's going to bless our family. God's going to continue to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And lastly, but not leastly, number 10, a godly mother loves unconditionally. That's right. She loves unconditionally. And I hope you're that type of mother that no matter comes your way, come what may, that you would have the heart to love unconditionally. You would love your husband and your children, your grandchildren, those who have wronged you, that you would rise above your anger and your disappointment, and that you could love like Christ. So I leave you with a couple of questions to ponder. Number 1, if you were blessed with a godly mother, what qualities do you admire in her? Some of you can reminisce. Some of you can glean. Some of your mothers have gone on to be in glory. Some of your wonderful grandmothers are probably in glory. But what can you glean off them? What can you take? I remember this one preacher that came to town one day. He said, take out the meat and throw away the bone. Why? Because in each and every one of us, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's right. There's no one perfect. But what can you take? A godly characteristic, something that your mother taught you that you can use for daily living, that you can use for your children, how you can further love your husband. Remember those things. Remember those things. That's right. Look at number 2. How has she shaped you and who you are today? That's right. That's right. Some beautiful mothers that I know that are homeschooling their children. And not to knock you that you've never homeschooled. It doesn't make you a lesser person. But guess what? God has given you that opportunity right now. Hallelujah. To homeschool your children. Thank you, Jesus. And some of you are learning. You're learning to be a wonderful teacher. You probably thought you didn't have it in you. And now you're a wonderful teacher. Now you're a wonderful exhorter. You're teaching them to fear the Lord. You're teaching them songs and hymns and you're praising God. And they get to see you now more with more quality time. Praise God. Or are they annoying to you and get away from me? Nah, that's not you. I really believe you love your children and your grandchildren. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Let's look at number 3. If you are a parent, what godly character traits do you want to develop in your own life and model for your children? What are they? God's probably right now, as you're listening to this message, He's probably giving you these little pictures in your mind on how you want your children to remember you of That's right. Just know. Just know that with all the mistakes in life, God has pushed that reset button right now. That's right. Don't look at the past. It's behind us. You see, yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. We have today. 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 Start out today. And maybe some of you, just some of you right now, who just logged in and said, man, you know what? I want to see what this preacher has to say about the portraits of a godly mother. Because it goes announced a day or so before the message goes out. And so I'm just saying to you right now, you probably logged in. And you're probably going, man, I want to hear this preacher live today. That's right. That's right. And maybe, just maybe, some of you have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are saying, man, there's a whole lot to learn about godly living. Well, guess what? Today's your day. Today you can start. That's right. How? Give your life to Christ. Repent of your sins. That's right. It starts with repentance. You see, maybe you've heard this before on the job. Maybe you work in a school. Maybe you work in a bank. Maybe you work with a whole bunch of people. Or maybe you're a stay-home mom. I don't know what your position is. But maybe, just maybe, you've heard Christians say, man, Jesus is coming. And he's going to take the Christians home. See, the Bible says that the true born-again believer is a child of God. And the Bible says that we, as believers, are the bride of Christ. So we've been betrothed. When we came by faith and we fell on our face and we cried out, God, cleanse me, forgive me, for I have sinned. Right then and there, we drank the cup, hallelujah, that consummated the betrothal. We are now betrothed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has promised one thing, that he will come back for us. That's right. He will not leave us orphans. He will come back for us. And you just need to understand that God's word is true. God's words are always true. And his promises are yes and amen. And he's coming back for the church. Oh yes. How do I know that? Because Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church that one day, and soon and very soon, the heavens are going to just crack right open, and in the clouds, the Lord Jesus is going to come, and the voice of the archangel is going to blast the trumpet of God. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. And some of you are saying, you got to show me that. All right. Well, let's go there. Let's look at Thessalonians right here. We're almost closing right now. Let's look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Paul wrote to this church in Thessalonica. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Christ, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Praise God. Look at verse 15 here. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means what? Precede those who are asleep. Here's the key right here. Look at this. You probably said, where does it say he will come? Right here in verse 16. Look at this. For the Lord himself, say that with me at home. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at verse 17. Then we, say that with me, then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Caught up to be with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, say that with me, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No, it doesn't say that. It says, therefore, comfort. These are words of comfort. Comfort one another with these words. Praise God. So he's coming. My question is this, saints of God. My question is this, friends and family who have never given their heart to the Lord. Have you secured your place? Have you solidified your position in Christ? Are you a true born-again child of God who is now called the bride of Christ, waiting for Christ to come. Well, if not, here's your opportunity right now. This is the very first sermon that Peter, the apostle, preached when he got filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, Jesus told his disciples, 120 of them, he said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. He said, go and tarry. And that word tarry, you know what that word tarry means? T-A-R-R-Y. It means wait. Wait for the promise. What is the promise? The promise was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Are you sure that's what it says, Pastor? Yeah. Let's go there. Let's look at the word right here as we close now. Then Peter said to them, what? Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. And you shall. Didn't say you might. Didn't say maybe. Didn't say I'll Facebook you. Didn't say I'll messenger you. Didn't say none of those things. Didn't say I'll tweet you. He says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So, my friends, this is the key. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I just shared with you what happened 2,000 years ago in the upper room. The Spirit of God fell on 120. They became born again. Now they were filled with the promise that Jesus spoke about. And now they're filled with the Holy Spirit of promise. They are heaven bound and now a hell to shun. You see, without Christ, that's what the Bible says. There's a hell, a real literal hell. But God has sent His only begotten Son that you and I can avoid that place. We can bypass that place and we can be heaven bound. So if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, pray with me. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Maybe you've never prayed this prayer before, but pray this prayer by faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and watch Him do the miraculous in your life. Watch Him cause, He'll allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life and make you become a brand new person from the inside out. So if that's you, just bow your heart and your head with me right now and pray this simple prayer. It goes like this. Pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I confess to you, God, that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a shout and a praise. Hallelujah. Right there from the couch. That's right. Just glorify Him and magnify Him. And thank God for your salvation. Thank God that God is doing the miraculous right now in your life. And so, my friends, it was just a great honor and a privilege once again to come into your living rooms to bring you this Mother's Day message. And as I sign off and say goodbye, please continue to watch the screen for a moment. We're going to have information for you on how to reach us. Listen, we give away a lot of freebies. What do I mean by that? That's right. If you log on to our website, you'll be able to download all the MP3 sermons. This sermon that you're listening to right now, In the days to come, you'll be able, maybe within hours after this, you'll be able to download this message and play it back. Also, the PowerPoint that you saw, you can download the PowerPoints and my sermon notes, all for free. We don't ask a dime. But one thing that we do, and we hope that you would do, is donate to our ministry. That's right. Donations are deeply appreciated. And the way you could do that is log on to our website and you'll find a way right there. There's a donate button on our website. You can donate. Praise God. And also on that screen that you're going to see in just a moment, you'll be able to call. It's a prayer hotline. If you need prayer, we'll if we don't pick up right away, we'll call you back. But we will engage in prayer with you, whatever the need is. And so, before I say goodbye, allow me to just pray a blessing to your home. It's called the Aaronic blessing. This was a blessing that was given to Moses thousands of years ago, and it pertains to us today. And so, it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, until then, until I see you again, I love you and I miss you. And I can't wait to once again come into your living rooms and bring you God's word. And keep praying. Soon and very soon, they'll probably let us go back to normalcy and we can come together once again, in the unity of the faith. Until then, God bless you, and we'll see you again. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the